Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. As a communications person, I am a tremendous believer in the power of social media. I'm a huge fan of social media. There's a lot of fun you can have with it. There's a lot of education you can do with it. And I'm always encouraging folks and organizations in the water sector to more fully embrace social media. One of the best accounts I've seen, social media accounts, is from the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. To me, they stand out the most of any water utility I've seen for their sense of humor, for their connection kind of to current events and culture, and still while addressing kind of key issues for customers. So for this podcast episode, I'm really happy to be joined by John Gonzalez. He's the manager of communications for Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Travis, and yourself? I appreciate the time today.
Folks that are on Twitter should right away pull you guys up at NEORSD. If for some reason people aren't on Twitter really, you can always go to twitter.com/NEORSD, and you got to scroll through this account and you'll be able to keep going and just be amazed at the content, the relevance and the humor and just cleverness of it all. So how do you guys, what's your approach and philosophy on social media? Because it's a unique account, and I'm just wondering kind of, you know, how you approach all this.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and the approach that we use as a organization really goes back to our broader communication strategy. For a number of years now, since our current director has taken the helm overseeing our department and a lot of our communications efforts, the idea has been that we need to be present in the community. The challenges that are out there in the industry, the challenges in our region specifically, being a Great Lakes city that we are, the challenges are very broad. And we do have an opportunity to reach customers in creative ways. For many years, we did work at the sewer district since 1972, simply getting the job done, not being concerned with a lot of public interaction, just doing the work and making sure that we met our obligations to the best of our ability. That hasn't changed. But what we have embraced is a willingness to go out and speak about our work in a way that gets customers more educated, more informed, and better aware of the work that's going on around them. Our social media is simply one aspect of a much broader strategy that our whole organization is supported, from our employees to our leadership to largely the community around us. They've supported our efforts to carry that message out. As I mentioned, though, it's a much broader campaign. When it comes to specifically social media, we try to do one of three things: educate, entertain, or engage. And if we can do any one of those three things, we can be successful. So much of social media is really a chance to do all three of them. And it's about how to embrace the creativity and try to find ways to meet people where they are. So we always look for those opportunities and have found success thus far in our social efforts, specifically Twitter as of late.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys, I think you hit on the educating, you hit on the engaging. Your entertainment factor is off the charts, though, just to be honest about it. It's great stuff. Like, I said, people can go on and on and scroll through there and see great examples. You've got a song up there right now, the 12 Clogs of Christmas. Recently, you were educating customers about some dye testing that might be seen in the Big Creek area, and you showed kind of a snapshot, I think, of Google Map. And so Google Maps puts up local businesses, and there was one of them flagged on there, and you said, but this is no connection to and is not sponsored by Das Schnitzelhaus. You did a ton of good posts around the NBA Finals, you know, with the Cleveland Cavaliers being in the NBA Finals last year, almost real-time stuff with what was happening in the games. You even picked up on some stuff happening in politics and talked about no smock testing, which picked up on a typo by President Trump. Instead of smoke, he typed smock. So how do you keep coming up with all this creative content on a regular basis?
there's a couple different factors that come into play. First of all, not every utility has the I would say, creative freedom that we have gained over time. That wasn't an overnight thing. We didn't set out one day and say, we're going to push the envelope here. We're going to tell these jokes. We're going to do nothing but puns. That wasn't part of our initial strategy. Our strategy was, when it came to social, get out there and be present, see how people are using it, have an idea of what we want to do, and then be able to engage at the level that makes sense for those platforms, whether they be Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And as time evolved and time went on, we saw great opportunities to jump on the trending nature of how Twitter works specifically. Anybody who's on Twitter knows how quickly things can change, how quickly information comes forth. And that timeliness is a tremendous opportunity for utilities to be engaged with the conversations that are going on around them. You can localize those trends. You can find out what your residents, what your customers are talking about, and find ways to work yourself into the conversation. Not to butt in on something, but to jump on the bandwagon in a way. Because those conversations are going on, we can't expect people to stop what they're doing there and come over and talk about bills or water rates or the challenges of Lake Erie. But if we can bring those issues into the topics that they're already interested in, that's a tremendous door that opens for a conversation, for a laugh, for an acknowledgement to think, I never really considered that before, but that makes sense. So that creative flexibility that we have been given over time is really a matter of the trust that we've built within our leadership and our following as well, because we'll notice that we may make an offhanded joke in one comment in a Twitter thread, and not long after, that same individual who we interacted with is either mentioning us to answer a question or bringing us back into a conversation that we had no idea was going on elsewhere. And so it's really tremendous. It's been a tremendous benefit to us to have that engagement, because people start to have their awareness raised of the reality of how our clean water work, the resources in our region. This is all impacting their lives on a daily basis, even if it's not something they have an immediate connection to. We can find the connection and do that creatively in a way that can keep them engaged in that dialogue.
Yeah, so you've mentioned that this is something that kind of built up and you had to kind of build that trust. I'm assuming that you're really kind of talking about with management, right? And how did that happen? How was that cultivated, and in a way that maybe other, you know, communications people should be like, okay, I should try to take similar steps with my management?
That's a good question. I have a lot of different recommendations for that. When it comes to building a social media program, a social media effort, I always recommend, when people ask me a similar question, I say you have to have at least three things to start. You've got to have a strategy. Kind of, what are you trying to achieve? Why are you trying to achieve it? How does your social media strategy fit into your organizational communication strategy or your strategic plan as an agency? If you don't have that connection, you're going to start off on the wrong foot. So definitely you need to have a strategy involved and have that conversation with the people around you. Once you have that, you can determine what your structure is going to be. What's the format? What's the organization for your engagement and your use of these platforms going to look like? What resources are you going to need? What types of people are going to be involved? What are the abilities and time that you can commit to doing this? So if you have a strategy and you have a structure, then you kind of need to have that substance. What types of conversation are you going to engage in? How do you define what creativity looks like? How far you're willing to go with a specific post or a mention of another account that may not seem relevant? So those types of questions and dialogues need to take place at your local level with your leadership, with your communications department, with your employees. Once you have that substance, then you can start to find out and understand what connections you can make within your organization. We've benefited by starting to experiment a little bit and understand where these communication connections are most valid and most valuable for us as a department. Once we started to build that foundation, we started to recognize we can't be the lone storytellers. Our employees are the ones who have the stories. As I told somebody on Twitter recently, I just know the Twitter password, but our employees are the experts who really know what's going on in the field. So why don't we use them to help us amplify that message, whether it be on their own personal accounts, help us to share some of that, the echo amongst people who are listening, or if we can at least use them and put their face on our account for certain projects or a Q&A or a video interview. Those are great ways to have our employees take more ownership of the opportunities that we have to be ambassadors. And that ability that we have shared with some of our employees, and we're always looking for those new passionate voices, creative voices to tell that story, that has been another way of reaching out into the workforce in the organization and then putting them on a platform to have them recognize you're an ambassador just as we are. It just may look a little bit different to you, but any engagement you have at the community level, that representative conversation you have on Twitter is not much different than the conversation you might have at a grocery store with someone that you run into that you haven't seen in a while, or at a family reunion, or at a dinner table conversation. All those aspects are really what put the social in social media. So we just try to make these conversations and this content personal. And with each success, our leadership can see this is a story of how this type of platform can reap benefits for us as a communication department and ultimately as an organization. Those small victories can go a long way.
Yeah, interesting. I noticed kind of the featuring of employees' faces and them out in the field working on some project. I noticed that on your account. I feel like I've noticed a little uptick of that recently, maybe when I was even looking through. And then also, it's interesting how I feel like we're still working to get social media recognized for the powerful tool it is. I think there's some embrace of it within management and so forth, but I still feel like it's maybe not given all the credibility that it deserves, and you know, in certain circles and so forth. Maybe not at your utility, but in other parts of the water sector. So this creative content, I want to just come back to that. Is this all coming out of the mind of John Gonzalez? Are you guys on your team? I say, hey, what about this or that? Or they send you something, or like, you know, where are these ideas coming from?
I am very thankful for the organization's, like I said, creative flexibility that they grant us. Our department is given a lot of opportunity to find out how can we be present to our customers, present in the community. And so whether that's our open house that draws 3,000 people on a Saturday to come tour our facility, or a summer camp that draws a dozen or half a dozen, 18 students in to learn more about our work on a weekly in a weekly experience, those types of creative venues give us a chance to showcase how we can be relevant to our to the people who are interested in our work. When it comes to the creativity, like I mentioned earlier, that social media is just kind of a microcosm of how our department is really empowered to be creative. A lot of the ideas might come from me because I simply am constantly keeping tabs on what's relevant in our followers or in our audience here in the region. But we get ideas from across the organization. Our department certainly is always throwing different nuggets towards me to say, can we use this? Did you know this is going on, that we're talking about this over here? Can we find a way to be relevant? Because relevancy is key when it comes to social media. Our department is always recognizing that I am always available to tap into those resources. And so if we can share that idea or text in the late hours or the early morning hours, it makes it easier to get an idea together and make it happen quickly. Because at least the way our department works is we're always looking for those opportunities and given the freedom to do that, to take advantage of that.
That's interesting you mentioned the evenings, because I definitely have seen you guys having fun in the evenings, especially around sporting events or pop culture stuff or breaking news out there. So,
if I can respond to that, that timeliness is very critical. If you're not timely on social, there's no point. Trends can change so quickly that anybody who's on Twitter especially knows. So how can you tap into what people are talking about immediately? That's not all happening during a 9-to-5 shift. That happens after hours. It happens when sporting events are on. It happens in the early morning before people start their work day. So personally, I like to take that opportunity to be relevant and engaging in that moment. Say after 8 o'clock in the evening, I'll be on for a little bit looking for ways to engage people, or before people get going to work, before 6 o'clock in the morning, be relevant and be accessible to them. The more timely you can be, it helps to encourage that relevancy in your posts. And it also gives people a different sense of trust, I've found, because they recognize they're going to reach out to you at a late hour in the evening, and you can be responsive during that hour. It demonstrates you're not just a scheduled tweet or a scheduled post or a customer service staff person who may have to be off the clock at a given 4 o'clock hour. We want to be timely because that's when you're being active. So let's engage in this. I'll address your problem, or answer your question, or give you a resource, or make you laugh. That type of transparency and that connection that we can have with our customers or our followers of any sort, it builds a lot of trust. And I think it's something that we certainly as the department take seriously. And I personally take that seriously. It makes my job exciting and interesting and fun in a lot of different ways.
I asked a bit about the reaction internally from management and employees, but let's go into that customer side a little bit more. You know, what do you hear back from them via social media or other channels about their reaction, especially to your Twitter content?
largely our response is very positive. People are encouraged and entertained in a lot of different ways by the type of content that we post. And so I take that as a compliment, and certainly our organization appreciates that. When it comes to negative feedback, we really hardly have any. But I welcome criticism of any kind because it helps us to know what people are thinking. It helps us to be aware of what conversations are going on at the customer level. The challenge I know that other utilities may face, we have currently, because we are simply a wastewater and a stormwater utility. We're not a drinking water utility. And I recognize that a lot of drinking water utilities have a different level of service, a different kind of service that requires perhaps a different voice in a lot of ways. There are utilities who do it well. DC Water is a go-to example who always knows how to be creative and is able to engage at both the emergency response level or the here's a service interruption message that you need to be aware of. But they still have that air of personality that makes them unique. When a utility has to manage all of those challenges, it becomes a little bit more, it's a more of a delicate balance. So we have the ability to perhaps be a little bit more tongue-in-cheek in things simply because we are wastewater, we're sewage. Poop jokes are very plentiful and it's amazing what people respond to, but we'll use that because it's how people talk. It's how they think. It's how their kids talk. It's the questions that people ask. So why not be honest about that? But certainly when those unfortunate circumstances occur, we'll take that chance to connect with the people that we have established that relationship with and give them the facts from top to bottom and keep them informed. We're not shortchanging that at all, but it does give us a little bit more flexibility to lean towards the entertainment side and use that as the foot in the door to then become a bit more engaging or educational without people realizing that's the direction we're going.
Slipping in that information without them realizing it. I like it. You and I have talked on the side about you're building a following beyond your customer base. I think especially in the water sector, others that work at utilities and so forth like to follow your account to see the creativity and how you are, sliding in information along with the entertainment. So what's that been like kind of engaging with your peers across the water sector?
It's tremendously beneficial. It's great for utilities to share those resources and those ideas. We're more than happy to provide inspiration if another utility is looking for ideas or helping to share content. A lot of the content we share will serve as a foundation for other utilities to help them reach their customers. Our customer base may be different, but the intent is always the same, is to get people to understand their infrastructure, their water quality realities, the ways in which they are contributing to the environment around them. And so if we can use that as a platform for them to reach their customers, we see that also as beneficial. Our key priority is to reach our customers because they're the ones who are supporting this work. And so we're not overlooking them. We start there. We recognize that the way in which we engage our local customers and our local residents needs to also be magnified in a way where it's relevant to the people beyond that. So we'll start with the personal level, but we find ways to maybe tweak that message a little bit and make it relevant beyond the Northeast Ohio region, because the challenges that exist here are not too far removed from those outside of the state of Ohio or outside of the Great Lakes region. So we can kind of balance that out to be personal to this area, but also applicable beyond that, because the challenges really do run the gamut.
Yeah. I mean, you touch on national issues like wipes in your posts, mm-hmm. and you talk about the importance of the water workforce and then the clean waterways that result from our work. So you definitely are touching on national issues as part of your content. Are there other social media accounts? You mentioned DC Water. Are there any others that kind of come to your mind that you're a fan of? I know there's a lot of great ones out there, but do you want to mention a couple that you kind of always enjoy seeing what they post?
I have several of our local accounts that I have our alerts on for. Clima Water is an account that is our water provider here in the Cleveland area. And so they are a great resource to find out what is engaging their customers and what is the content that needs to be shared with our followers here locally, so we can use that and capitalize on that. As I mentioned, DC Water is a great example. Kansas City Water is a great example. There's a tremendous number and a lot of variety in the ways in which utilities are engaging with their followers. And so we like those engagements as an opportunity just to see what's working. The way that brands are, and I consider us a brand in a lot of ways as a utility, but we're not a personal account, but we have a personal voice. We are engaging at the personal level. And the ways in which the brands are successfully engaging their followers, it really comes down to that personal connection. And so we can appreciate when a utility, for example, is is being personal, being upfront, being transparent, being honest and engaging. Those are great ways to simply use the platform for what it was designed for. Keep that social and social media and have those conversations. There's plenty of examples, and I like to retweet those accounts and mention those accounts that are doing a fine job. And so if you're following our accounts, you'll see some of those voices and a lot of others come up on a regular basis.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, John, I'm glad we got to chat. I feel like we interact multiple times a week on social media, at least me just stalking your account and liking lots of stuff. So I'm glad we chatted. People should go, especially check out on Twitter at NEORSD and see the good stuff, give you a follow. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Words